Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 30th day of June, 2022. And I am thrilled to have back on the program, by popular demand, Dr. Latane C. Scott. She is a Mormon convert to Christianity who earned her PhD in biblical studies. She's a recipient of Pepperdine University's Distinguished Christian Service Award for Creative Writing. She's the Dean of the College of Professional Creative Writing at Trinity Southwest University in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and an award-winning veteran of the Christian publishing ministry, having written over 24 books, including The Mormon Mirage. And today we are going to be addressing, a former Mormon discusses the unique challenges of reaching the spiritually homeless who flee from the outreach of Christians after the devastation of being misled and harmed by a cult. We're also going to be introducing Latane's new book, Under the Banner of the Mormon Code, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Latane C. Scott.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Well, tell us, first of all, about The Mormon Mirage, since it's probably your most well-known and, I'm assuming, most widely read book, especially on the issue of the Mormon religion, which used to be the religion that you held so dear and loved. And this is a book that has become a classic, really, on this subject. Tell us about The Mormon Mirage.
Well, it's actually stayed in print now for, 43 years? Yeah, 43 years, which is kind of unusual for any book. And it's gone through three revisions. The last one was a really major revision because when I first wrote the book, I was just fresh out of Mormonism. And I still had all my notes. I'd taken notes at every meeting I ever attended for the last 5 years of my tenure as a Mormon. I was coming fresh off scholarship at BYU and a great love for Mormonism and a great love for the Mormon people. The love for Mormonism began to fade, of course, as I saw the many discrepancies between what I had been taught as a faithful Mormon and the history of the Mormon Church, which once I started reading it, it didn't match up. And then I discovered that the Bible in many places didn't match up with Mormon doctrine. And then I found that Mormon doctrine didn't match up with Mormon doctrine. And so when I left the Mormon Church and wrote the book, it was, these things were still fresh in my experience. And now, these many years later, I go back and read it, and I have the same question that some people have, and that is, how is it that someone could believe that so fervently and not only believe it and love it, but because I have my record of how I felt about it at the time, it's easier for me, I guess, to feel a great deal of empathy for Mormons who are struggling with their faith right now.
Great. Well, if anybody would like to purchase that book, I strongly urge you to go to cvbbs.com. Cumberland Valley, Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who sponsor this program. And if they do not have it left in stock, you can just ask them to order it, and they will order that for you. And you can tell them it's The Mormon Mirage by Dr. Latane C. Scott, published by Zondervan. And it's not to be confused with a book by the same title by Hank Hanegraaff, who for some bizarre reason insisted on titling his book with the same name after Latane's book had already been in print for decades. So that still remains a bizarre mystery to me why he did that. But
I'd like to say something about Cumberland Valley Bookstore. Anytime I've gotten a book from them, it's always been very carefully packed. It's obvious that they take great pride in what they're doing, and I really urge your listeners to patronize Cumberland Valley Bible Bookstore, because they really do care about their customers.
Wow, that's a great plug, and I hope that somebody there is listening. If not, I'll make sure they get a recording of this interview. It's cvbbs.com. Well, now let us know about this new book, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is a novel. And this novel is titled Under the Banner of the Mormon Code, obviously a takeoff on the series, the Hulu series, Under the Banner of Heaven. And please explain.
This book, actually, I wrote quite a while back, and it was actually written before the Hulu series. And one thing that people often don't take into account about the Hulu series is that the two characters in the Hulu series, Detective Jeb Hyrie and Detective Taba, are two people that were actually invented for this docudrama. And so They're novelistic themselves, because they never existed. These are two people invented for the series. And my book demonstrates what would happen in a murder mystery if someone decided they were going to live out and play out the doctrines of the early Mormon Church. And, of course, in Under the Banner of Heaven, the Lafferty brothers do enact blood atonement, which is one of the early doctrines of the Mormon Church that was not practiced by the mainstream Mormon Church. But there are many other things about Mormonism that people don't know, and I wanted to demonstrate in a novel form, in what I hoped would be an enjoyable mystery, some of the things about Mormonism, and to explain them sympathetically from the Mormon point of view, but also to demonstrate how foreign they are to biblical Christianity. And in my novel, Under the Banner of the Mormon Code, the clues that are left by the perpetrator of the crimes are written in the Deseret alphabet, which is an actual alphabet code that Brigham Young commissioned to have Mormon documents written in. So I try to do a lot of explaining of early Mormon history, and I, to my great joy, people who were faithful Mormons or are faithful Mormons say that what I've depicted there, historically speaking, has been accurate. So that makes me feel good.
And I did not see the book on your website. Is it going to be up there for people who want to purchase that book?
It is going to be up there, and I'm not sure if Cumberland Valley Bookstore has access to it, but I do know it's on Amazon, in both ebook and print book.
Okay. Well, I would still urge our listeners to first go to cvbbs.com, and as I said, if they don't have it, they can order it. And they're very competitive with their prices, most of the time lower than can be found elsewhere. Well, today, even though we've touched on this during our interviews not long ago, we had I believe, two interviews, if I'm not mistaken, on the series Under the Banner of Heaven. Am I right? Did we do two on that?
No, we just did one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well,
I'm sorry. This is the second one.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was on June 2nd. We did a program where you, as an ex-Mormon, were analyzing the TV series Under the Banner of Heaven, which I was riveted to, have completed watching it. And although we touched on the subject of how you had a powerful reaction to watching it because of the similarities in how the lead character, the detective, Jeb, was responding to his journey of discovery into the roots of Mormonism and to learn of things that he had not known before, involving their gruesomely violent past and so on, their racism and other things. And it became more and more of a burden for him during this broadcast because he, in the beginning, you can sense the character had a deep love for Mormonism and being a Mormon. And it's quite interesting. I can't even remember seeing another series or movie where the lead character is constantly rebuking the other characters in the story for using foul language. And, you know, you even though you knew as a Christian that you were watching a series that involved a fictitious character was a Mormon, at the same time there were some things that even a Christian could resonate with, some of his behavior and reactions and so on. But if you could, for the sake of those who didn't hear our interview on Under the Banner of Heaven, and by the way, I advise everybody listening after this live interview is over to go to the archive of IronSharpensIronRadio.com, type in Latane, L-A-T-A-Y-N-E, in the search engine, and there'll be quite a number of interviews that come up, and the most recent at the very top will be that very interview on Under the Banner of Heaven. But for the sake of our listeners who did not hear that interview, repeat how profoundly you were moved watching this series, especially in regard to Jeb's discovery of the falsehood and even the evil that existed and permeated in the Mormon religion.
I thought the television series did a very good job of depicting this. And what happened was this faithful Mormon man is given a book that has photocopies of early Mormon documents. And the series takes place in the mid-1980s, I think. And I left Mormonism in 1979. So it's right in the time period of when I left Mormonism. And this detective, who's a faithful Mormon and is well-known in his community, takes this book and sits out in his car alone in his garage with just the dome light on and is looking at these documents, and he is just sickened by it. And I know a lot of people make changes of religion, Chris, and I know that you went through quite a transformation yourself when you completely gave yourself to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. But most people don't have to repudiate a theological past in the way that Mormons who leave Mormonism have to do, because, well, it might be true of some Roman Catholics who come upon some of the abuses of authority in the Roman Catholic Church. But when someone goes from being a Methodist to a Presbyterian, for instance, there's not this enormous sense of discovering things that you didn't want to know and re-representing reality, re-representing your leaders, re-representing your heritage in the same sense that Jeb Pyrie did and I did. For me, I was sitting in a bank warehouse because I had been hired in a temporary job to help organize some of the forms that the bank used in their business transactions. And on my breaks, I would get that same book. That's an actual book that in the series that he was reading called Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality, the same book I was reading. And I just remember this sickness, and physical illness that I felt. And at one point, Pyre, as he's being confronted with these things, goes and vomits into a trash can because he's so upset about what he's finding out. And I have to say that the summer of 1979, when I was struggling with trying to justify Mormonism, because I wanted to, because I loved it, I had that same physical reaction.
And let's explore now the main theme that we are addressing today. A lot of Christians, when they are evangelizing the lost, even though every lost person, regardless of their background, whether they are an openly scandalously wicked person in matters of morals and so on, or if they are even a very pious and religiously dedicated person in a false religion or cult, there is something unique about the mission field that includes those that have been seriously harmed mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes even physically by being in a false church or cult. And there is, as it were, a homeless situation for them spiritually. These, in my own experience, this type of people have been the hardest to reach. They have been the hardest to even give you a listening ear. In fact, as I said the last time when I interviewed you on the TV series Under the Banner of Heaven, the nastiness that I was receiving from people who were former Mormons, the vicious remarks that I was having hurled at me was just a reminder of how very unique this group of people are. And in fact, we can't even say that this group of people is monolithic. You have all different kinds of stories and backgrounds and motivations and presuppositions. But if you could just take up from there, I don't know how long, if at all, you were ready to give up at all on belief in God or anything like that. But there are some who have totally abandoned any concept of God, any concept of religion, any concept of faith that involves anything involving a deity and commitment to a worship and an obedience to that deity. But if you could, just pick it up from there.
Someone who faces the demolition of everything that they have thought they knew to be true about God or about a church on earth or their earthly leaders or doctrine or scripture has to go through something I called in my own life a teardown. You know, it's like when you have a building and the building, you discover that the building is rotten inside and that, you know, there's mold and termites and everything else, and it's about to fall down on your head, so you get out of it. But you can't just prop it up and go back and live in it. And so I had to do what I call the teardown, and I actually described this in the Mormon Mirage, that I went through an actual procedure. And bear in mind, Chris, when this happened to me, I was 21 years old. There was no internet. There was no network that I knew of ex-Mormons. I felt completely alone in this. Other than the books by Gerald and Sandra Tanner, which I was just referring to, and others. But, I mean, they were in Utah, and I was here. And, you know, we didn't have the email. We didn't have those sorts of things. It never occurred to me to call them up on the phone to talk to them because, one of the things that when you've been totally invested in a false religion is you begin to doubt your own judgment, whether or not you can correctly assess anything. You feel, I didn't feel the anger and betrayal that you just described, but in that teardown process, Chris, I sat down with myself and thought, if Mormonism is wrong, what is right? Because this young man who was who later became my husband, who was giving me these books, just because Mormonism was wrong didn't mean that Christianity and he were right. So the emotional and theological teardown I did was I had to decide whether or not there was a God. And I didn't realize it at the time, Chris, but I was doing exactly what it talks about in Romans 1, verses 18 through 22 or so, where it says that there are certain things that anybody has access to about God, and it's that he is a God with divine powers, and that he manifests himself through creation. But even that, you know, I had to negotiate in my own mind, is that true or not? And so I want people to understand when they're asking someone to leave Mormonism, if they truly love it and they truly are happy with it, that the Christian has to be willing to go through a very difficult period of grieving, sometimes anger and other things, because the rug's pulled out from underneath you and you don't know what to believe. I made the choice. I guess it was a choice. To believe that there was a God because of what I could see in the world. There was the created order. There was this order. There's beauty. There's power. Those things. But that doesn't really tell you very much other than there is a God who created things. And for me, that was not enough. So the next step in the rebuilding after the teardown, you know, down to the concrete of what to believe, if there was a God and he had created this, what I could see was an orderly beautiful world. I lived close to the Sandia Mountains. I've lived in New Mexico my whole life when I wasn't in Utah. I mean, just the gorgeousness of God's creation. I had to say that must reflect something of him, the kind of power that could do that. And then I made a leap of faith to decide whether or not such a God was a good God, because the same God that created those beautiful mountains and the solidity of them also created earthquakes and natural disasters. So I had to make a decision about whether this creator God, I guess I never thought of it before this moment, but whether or not I could trust it. Because, this sense of betrayal, this sense of disorientation, this sense of inability to trust my own assessment of things because I've been so wrong before. And certainly an absolute determination not to depend on my own emotions, because it had been my emotions, the burning in the bosom type stuff, that had got me into and kept me to Mormonism. So I knew I could depend on that. I had to reason this out. So I decided that I was going to assume that he was a good God. The next step I took in this build up from the teardown, I reasoned in my own self that if there was a God and he was a good God, creator God, a powerful God, that he would want some sort of communication with human beings. In other words, I couldn't imagine that he would have invested whatever it took. Of course, it's effortless for him, but whatever seems to us to be enormous creativity and enormous power to and enormous attention to detail, that he put into this created world. Would he have created sentient human beings with the ability to talk and communicate and the ability to form relationships, the ability to think about thinking, which animals can't do. Animals can think, you know, obviously. They can sometimes communicate, but they can't communicate about their own thinking processes. Only human beings can do that. So such a creator who created those kind of human beings must have our reason. And again, this is not a template for anybody. I'm just telling you what I went through. I reason such a being must want to communicate with the people that he creates. Okay, you with me so far, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so if that were the case, if he were going to create, if he were going to communicate with human beings, and I just come out of it, or was just struggling with a system of thought that says that he communicates directly with human beings in an actual hierarchical chain of command type of thing in the Mormon church, you know, where the prophet could receive revelation for the whole church, and then it goes down to, you know, the 12 apostles and the 70 and others, where it trickles down to where actually, a woman can only receive revelation for herself and her children because her husband receives revelation for her and the children. So if there was that kind of communication going on, and it could be wrong, or it could be incorrect, or it could be invalidated, maybe that's what I should say, it could be invalidated by discovering that it was inconsistent and actually hurtful to human beings, and contradictory to another book of scripture, which is the Bible. I had to decide, could there be an authoritative source of communication that didn't depend on people's emotions and did not depend on individual human beings to validate truth and reality? And I decided, and I cannot tell you what had me decide that, but I decided to trust the Bible. And from then on, I was able to build a house, so to speak, in which I could live, in which I could believe that I could have fellowship with God.
Amen. We're going to our first break right now because I don't want to interrupt you in mid-sentence. And we're very close to where I take the first break anyway. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, for Dr. Letain C. Scott on the issue we are addressing. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a church or religion that you are beginning to fear is a false church, a false religion, a cult, and you don't want to identify yourself publicly as of yet. We understand that you would want to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please include your first name, your city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Letain C. Scott after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
And Ignited by the Word is coming up very quickly on their renewal date for advertising with us. They've advertised with us for a full year. So if you want to help further ensure that they will renew their advertising contract with us, why not subscribe to that magazine today, especially if you have young children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, their children in the neighborhood of other families that you have fellowship with, and even at your church. Go to ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org, and in doing so, when you subscribe, you will be helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. We're now back with Dr. Latane C. Scott. If you just tuned us in, we are discussing a former Mormon discusses the unique challenges of reaching the spiritually homeless who flee from the outreach of Christians after the devastation of being misled and harmed by a cult. Our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. I believe we have a first-time questioner with a question. Amy in Leveland, Texas. And sorry, Amy, if I'm mispronouncing the city in which you live. But Amy says, in my limited study, it seems to me that Mormonism and Islam have more in common than Mormonism and Christianity. Is that a fair assessment? And can you expound on it if so? And she has one other question here, so I'll let you start with the first one.
They do have similarities in that they claim to be the product of a single person to whom God restored or gave exclusive truth. They do both claim to have a system of thought that produces a scripture with biblical terms sometimes and connections with the Bible without advocating all Bible concepts. Joseph Smith actually at one point drew a comparison of himself to Muhammad. And so,
Didn't he call himself the second Muhammad?
I don't remember exactly how he put it, but he did. He did compare himself to Muhammad, and I think also the sense of starting something new and unique was always on his mind.
And of course, I think an inescapable similarity is a works-based righteousness, even though Mormons use the word grace, they really do not believe in it in a biblical concept of salvation being free and a free gift from God. They really believe that they are helping to earn and merit their state in the eternal life. Am I right?
Well, I'm glad you said that, their state in the eternal life, because in Mormon doctrine, the word salvation is something that's given to all human beings,
right,
which is the ability to be resurrected. Where you end up in eternity, in the celestial, the terrestrial, or the telestial kingdom, or in hell, depends on your actions from that point on.
And, of course, the thing that would make them radically different is that Islam is monotheistic to the point where they think wrongly that Christians are tritheistic. And in fact, the worst sin that you can commit in Islam is the sin of shirk, which is giving partners to God. And what they mean by that is if you were to say that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, you are doing that. And that is a worse sin than murder, rape, anything else you can conceive of doing in an evil fashion. That is their worst form of abomination. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have Mormons having an infinite number of gods. They would perhaps be more correctly defined as henotheists, because they worship one god on this planet, but they believe in an infinite number of other gods. In fact, they will be gods if they are faithful Mormons, right?
Excellent. Yeah, excellent, Chris. Exactly what you said.
And her, Amy's second question, when coming out of the LDS, where were you ever uncertain of God, or was it your certainty that led you out?
Oh, I was uncertain of God. When I decided to be baptized, for instance, it was with a sense of being vanquished. And it's I was in a card game and somebody else had all the winning cards. But that didn't mean I had to like it. I was relieved to be making a clean break with Mormonism. I thought I was, although emotionally I wasn't. But it was a good 10 years, Chris, after I left the Mormon church and was active in a Christian church where I really had what I earnestly desired, which was fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you, Amy. And guess what? If you are indeed a first-time questioner, send us your full name and mailing address in Levelland, Texas, because you have won a new New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will actually be shipping it out to you. And we always give first-time questioners a free New American Standard Bible, so I hope you enjoy yours. And I hope you keep listening and writing back when we are interviewing other guests. We have Andrew in New York City, and a very interesting question. How do we keep someone from a cult? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. How do we keep someone coming from a cult from falling into antinomianism? In other words, and I've met people like this who were not only involved in cults and left, but were even involved in very strict Christian homes. They might have been even theologically orthodox homes, faithful to the Bible, but the homes were overly rigid and restrictive and even bordering on Pharisaic and judgmental in their control of their children, or even the church's control over the congregants, an extreme form of fundamentalism in Christianity. And when they left, some of them have claimed to retain their belief in Christ, but they think that they can live any way they want. They exaggerate and twist biblical grace, giving to it a license to sin. And Paul himself said that if should we sin that grace may more abound, God forbid. So Paul has already answered that issue, and of course James in his epistle. But yeah, you have any counsel, any thoughts on those that leave a restrictive, rigid, domineering, perhaps dictatorial cult, and then they want to just live any way they choose, even if they are still claiming to believe in God?
It's a difficult situation, Chris, because what do you throw out? When you leave an all-inclusive thought form, which Mormonism is an all-inclusive thought form, it tells you all of it. It answers all of the major worldview questions: what's the most real thing in existence? What happens to man after death, etc. And maybe we can get into that in the second hour. But when someone leaves this such an all-inclusive explanation for reality, actually, you don't just dump everything out and start from scratch. I mean, I did on the concept of God. But you can do a teardown, but you just can't do a teardown of everything you've ever thought. So I remember just how sinful and really almost thrilling it felt when I drank my first Dr. Pepper, because when I was a faithful Mormon, you didn't drink any drinks with caffeine in them. And so that was my big rebellion, which may sound kind of silly to me. But I had actually, you know, lived the word of wisdom so strictly that I didn't eat chocolate for a long time when I was a Mormon because it contained a substance similar to caffeine. So drinking a Dr. Pepper was a big deal. But when people, it is a great temptation to just say, well, you know, the basis of my former faith is suspect, and therefore all the rules that were applied in it are suspect. They should be suspect, but many of them are biblical. I mean, it is biblical to be a good citizen. It is biblical to lead a good, clean, moral life, as Mormonism teaches, whether or not its adherents, especially historically, have done that, is not the issue. It is the right thing to do. So what do you throw out and what do you keep? And so many people, just once they feel freed from the restrictions, the sometimes quite stringent restrictions of Mormonism, go the opposite way and want to experiment and experience many things they haven't. We see a comparable example, Chris, many times with Christian kids who go away to college. They're underneath the restrictions of their parents, and they do many stupid things just because they can do them, and they've been forbidden in the past. And so I think we can see a parallel there, and maybe it might help people to understand a bit better why people who have left Mormonism, many of them, do a lot of things they regret later. Let's just put it that way.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program in New York City and beyond. And we're going to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show. We are required to have a longer break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, who airs this program down in Lake City, Florida, they are required by the SEC to localize all of their programming, including ours, geographically to Lake City, Florida. They do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers and patronize them when possible. Buy their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, visit their churches. But on those occasions when you cannot do any of those things, I'm urging you, please, if you really love this show and you're grateful that there are people out there and there are churches out there and there are parachurch organizations out there and there are businesses and corporations and professional practices out there who love this show so much, they are sharing some of the money that God has given them with us so that we can stay on the air. If you're really grateful for those people and grateful to them, why not contact them using the contact information they provide in their commercials and thank them? Simply say, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and keeping it on the air. I would really appreciate it if you did that. I'm sure my sponsors would as well. So at the very least, thank our sponsors for advertising. And also, send in your questions to Dr. Latane C. Scott, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages with more of Dr. Latane C. Scott.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's LIYFC.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Please purchase generously and frequently, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And before we return to our guest, Dr. Latane C. Scott, we just have a couple of more brief announcements to make. First of all, folks, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, we're urging you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We really need your advertising dollars more than ever in addition to your contributions. We are facing a crossroads here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The live streaming network, First Love Radio, who has been live streaming us for nearly the entirety of our time after relocating to Pennsylvania, they are becoming a strictly commercial-free network. And that, therefore, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio needs to find another way to stream the program affordably. We need your financial help to do that. We also want to remain with First Love Radio, but in order to do that, we have to pay someone to edit this program every day and provide it for First Love Radio the second day to air commercial free. So we're still going to be a program with commercials, but it will be live streaming from a different source than First Love Radio. And we're still going to be on First Love Radio, but without commercials. But these two new developments, going to another streaming service and also needing the program edited every day, are going to be additional costs on top of everything else that we require to keep this program functioning. So I'm urging you, if you haven't given for a while, if you've never given before, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please, now we need your donations and then your advertising dollars more than ever. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, or send me an email if you'd like to advertise to chrisarnson@gmail.com with advertising in the subject line. Please prayerfully pray for providing for us if you really want us to stick around. And once again, I want to take this time publicly to thank my guest, Dr. Latane C. Scott, who has been an extremely generous financial supporter of this program nearly since we first went on the air. Thank you again, Dr. Latane C. Scott.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I believe in what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I've helped many people find churches, sometimes within minutes from their own homes, in all parts of the world. So if that is your circumstance, you don't know of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church near where you live, or if that is the case with somebody that you love, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Latane C. Scott. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, there are very dear family members of mine who have abandoned the faith, and they seem to refuse to want to sit down to discuss the scriptures or attend a Bible study or a worship service. Now, I believe there are two extreme errors that often go on in the church. You have those that only want to show the love of Christ to the lost by doing good things for them and, as it were, be involved in lifestyle evangelism. And on the other extreme, you have those that only want to teach biblical truths, but in other ways will never give them the time of day. How do we find a balance in regard to this, and do you agree with my assessment?
Well, certainly there has to be not only a balance, but an inclusion of both things, because our lives and our actions speak as loudly as any lesson that we would want to teach. And, of course, if we don't assign a cause to our good acts, then people just assume just because we're nice people, we do something. I always tell people who are dealing with Mormons that, of course, our lifestyle portray the fervency and the genuine nature of our faith. But also sometimes you have to just say it. And if you don't have the doctrinal background to be able to talk to a Mormon, for instance, you can say, you know, I am so happy as a Christian, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ so much, and I can't think of anything that Mormonism would add to my great satisfaction with the Lord right now. So maybe we're not going to be open, or we're not going to pursue you teaching me, but if you want to learn anything about why I'm so satisfied, I'd be happy to teach you. And I say that because when I was a Mormon, I believed with all my heart that only Mormons could be happy and be satisfied in their religion, and that everybody else might pretend to be, but that they had this great gaping lack in their lives that only Mormonism could fill. And just to hear, if I heard Christians say, you know, I'm so satisfied with my relationship with Jesus Christ, And I just love the Bible. It's all I need, you know. I spend time in it, and I devote myself to my local body of fellow believers. That would be a great shock to most Mormons if they heard that coming out of the mouth of people that they know are Christians.
Now, for the person who has left Mormonism or any other cult, going back to the original theme, I want your opinion on something that I have done with people that I know that have been harmed by false churches and cults and false religions. When I say harmed, I don't necessarily mean physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. They're gun shy, as it were, to even consider becoming a member of a church, or even before that, even contemplating the necessity to repent and place your faith in Christ. When they have brought up their horror stories of being somehow abused in a church, whether it's a cult or even a theologically sound one, I remind them that the Bible itself warns us about false teachers. And in fact, I tell them sometimes that the fact that this happened to you, the fact that you are under the leadership of a false religion, is in fact further proof that the Bible is true. Because the Bible warns about this. The Bible warns about even people being false teachers and preachers who call themselves Christians and use the name of Christ. And in fact, we have one of the most bone-chilling verses in the scriptures in Matthew 7, where some of those who are going to be sent into a Christless eternity are telling Jesus on the judgment throne, did we not perform many good deeds and miracles in your name and cast out demons in your name? And he says, I never knew you. Be gone, you workers of unrighteousness. So obviously a bone-chilling thing that will await many people who think that they are right with God and are not. But isn't that at least a part of a good thing to come up in conversation where people are just rejecting any concept of God or Christianity, or as they usually put it, organized religion, just because they have been burned and hurt, and they have to be reminded. And in fact, I also say this. So you want to reject Jesus because of Judas? You want to turn your back and never even give a listening ear to Jesus Christ just because one of his apostles was a traitor and a false believer? So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I've never actually thought of that approach, Chris. I have such great confidence in God's word that I think sometimes it can speak in all times it can speak better than we can. And I'm thinking of when I was making decisions leaving the Mormon church and in that spiritual nether land, you know, where I wasn't sure about anything. I remember opening up my Bible and reading the passage in Galatians that said, even though we or an angel from heaven proclaim a different gospel than what we have given you, let him be accursed. And that one verse caused me to re-represent Mormonism, which came at the hand of an angel. And I bring that example up because if we believe that the Bible truly is all-sufficient, that it has everything we need for life's godliness, it seems to me that it also has within it the information or the passages or whatever that we need to most effectively reach people. It is absolutely true, though, Chris, and I've seen this over the decades that I have left Mormonism. Many people just don't want to be taught, and some people do not want to be controlled. They see any religion as a control, and they choose not to be controlled. That's the antinomianism that Andrew was talking about. But if our, I think if our conversation is seasoned with scripture and seasoned with scriptural truth, and we can say to someone without being threatening to them or without being imposing on them, here's something wise I learned in scripture today, maybe something from one of the Proverbs. Well, you show your respect for scripture and you show that it has validity, that there is truth in these things. You know, someone once said to me that better it is to grab a dog by the ears in the middle of a fight than to interfere in a matter that's not your own. You know, there's so much wisdom in scripture that doesn't have to necessarily, we think, lead them right to Jesus Christ as much as show respect for scripture itself. And I think your method or your tactic that you were talking about does that. But as we share something we've learned that we appreciate from scripture, we show our respect for it, and therefore, if someone has an issue that they want it dealt with, they could come to you even if they don't want to be under the tutelage of the Lord Jesus Christ at that point, to say, what does the Bible say about this? And, of course, the answer of a faithful Christian is, I may not know, but I'll find out. You know, you don't, I've never presented myself as an expert that can answer every question. Sometimes I have to say, I don't know, but I'll research it and I'll get back to you. But by showing respect for scripture itself, I think that is a giant step forward. We tend to kind of talk about God and spiritual things and scripture kind of as an afterthought instead of making our conversation seasoned with it, like the salt.
We have another anonymous listener who says, what do you think of the phrase, preach the gospel and use words if necessary? All I know is I hate that phrase, and I've heard it attributed to Francis of Assisi, although I don't know with certainty that he said it. But if the speaking of the actual truths in the scriptures is like an afterthought or something on a lower ladder of importance, and we could just do good things, as you were mentioning earlier, none of the apostles would have been martyred. None of the disciples would have been martyred over the centuries. Jesus Christ, other than the orchestration of God himself for his death and Jesus willingly laying his life down, on an earthly sense, he never would have been crucified if all he did was good things. But anyway, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I've never heard that take on it, Chris, but I do know this, that faith without works is dead. And so,
oh, of course.
Faith without words might as well be dead, because nobody knows why you're doing the faithful things you're doing.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's why I said you have to bring scripture and God into it, or... And I could give the example of me coming back from Colorado with my kids in a car one time, and someone was broken down, and we stopped, and we were living at Colorado at the time, and these people had out-of-state plates. And so while they were fixing their tire, we shared our cold drinks, and we shared, you know, our snacks and things with their family, just to kind of, because it's hot, you know. And when they drove off, I thought to myself, yeah, they probably think the people in Colorado are really nice people, instead of saying, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm happy to help you because of what he's done for me. See, I missed that golden opportunity. And that's what I'm saying. We allow somebody to give credit to our own good nature, or that they suppose we have a good nature, or to our state or to our community or whatever. When we're motivated, we do these things because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to say that with our mouth, or they can't probably figure it out, especially in a short interaction.
Yes, and please, I don't want anybody to mistake what I said before, to think that our good deeds and acts of compassion are somehow unimportant or very far down the ladder of the importance of the behavior of a Christian.
I think you made that clear.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure nobody else listening got that because, as I said even earlier, you know, I quoted from James's epistle, and that's obviously a litmus test, one of the litmus tests of a living or dead faith, whether or not you are doing good for your neighbor. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. Hello, Chris and Dr. Latane C. Scott. Dr. Scott, a few years ago, during many witnessing encounters with a schoolmate who had become a Mormon, but knowing little of the Mormon religion myself, my go-to verse was James chapter 2, verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all." It's my understanding that the Mormon religion teaches that if one falls into sin, that all other previous sins returns to him. I may not understand that correctly, but my question is, how does a Mormon view that verse, and is it beneficial to use that verse in this situation?
I don't remember when I was a Mormon being taught that. I was taught that just as a sin is like a nail, and you pound it into wood, and forgiveness is the removal of the nail, but the scar remains. And so there's no, in Mormonism, I never had the sense that my sins were taken away completely in the eternal sense. However, because I don't know, and this is just my opinion, if that verse was effective and the Lord led you to it, Cindy, I'd say, you know, that's great. But I'm not sure that Mormons who have so many rules and regulations to keep anyway. I mean, think about this, Chris. They don't have just the Bible to read. They have the Bible and three other books of Scripture and the teachings of the living prophets in their semi-annual conferences. So they've got all that information to deal with. They've got all these different rules to keep, and we know about those rules because of the questions they have to answer when they go in for a temple interview or a tithing settlement or anything else. There's so many questions about behavior and practice and belief that have to be answered that there would be the amount of guilt they already have for not keeping all the rules. I would not have been moved by that, but if it worked with her friend who had her schoolmate who had become a Mormon, then that's great. One thing I found out, I wrote a book called Ex-Mormons, Why We Left, and I interviewed eight people who had left the Mormon Church, and one of them was Sandra Tanner, the author of Mormonism, Shadow Reality. And I asked them, what was the single thing that was effective in getting your attention, you know, to help you leave Mormonism? And in every single case, it was something different. And so I say that because if there were a magic bullet, a silver bullet that could get, you know, anybody's friend out of Mormonism or keep them from becoming a Mormon, if there was such a bullet, people would pay unlimited amounts of money to save their loved one the sorrow of finding out at the end of time that they had wasted their time with Mormonism. There's not a single strategy. There's not a single what worked with me may have had absolutely no effect on someone else. So if Cindy was able to use that to get the attention of her friend, I say go for it. The Holy Spirit leads us as we read His Word and leads us scriptures, I believe, that can be most effective in individual situations.
Yes, I mean, obviously the verse she quoted, James 2:10, it does go to the heart of the futility of trying to merit favor with God through your constant obedience. If you think that you have achieved that or you are ever going to achieve it, this is kind of is a bucket of cold water in the face, I think, to that person. Because, you know, if they keep the whole law and offend it just on one point, they're guilty of disobeying all of it. So I think that there is a good point to be made there. We have another anonymous listener who says, although I agree with both of you that our evangelism can neither be a social gospel that is only involved in caring for people's physical needs, and it cannot be a religion that is only pounding truth into the heads of the lost. At the same time, should we not at times be patient and slow in how we develop our conversations with certain lost people, where we gradually begin to unfold the scriptures to them and first seek to win their attention by doing good to them? That's a great question. In fact, you know who it reminds me of? Your friend, who I have had on this program several times, Rosaria Butterfield, how she was won to Christ by the grace of God through the love and compassion of a Presbyterian pastor and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your anonymous commenter made a good point, that it can't be the social gospel alone. It can't be pounding in truth. And that for many people, this slow and deliberate Rosaria Butterfield type experience is what will bring people. But some people, and I know so many people that I've been confronted by one single scripture, and it causes everything else to start falling apart and causes them to reevaluate. So again, it's very individualistic. I mean, you think about Paul on the road to Damascus, and how long was the confrontation of Jesus Christ with him to get him to completely reevaluate everything? So some people are open to, you know, that kind of direct confrontation. In this, I believe the Holy Spirit has to lead us, and we're told, you know, the apostles were told in Acts, and I think this is true for all of us, that even though it's good to prepare for such an encounter, we have to have the confidence that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak in the moment that we need them. If we're, you know, if we're truly seeking relationships with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord, as we do this, and not just going in with our checklist or our whatever method we think we ought to push or not push. I guess what you're hearing me say, and each of these people that's asked the question, Andrew and Cindy and the couple of anonymous people, I'm urging you to let the Holy Spirit and your relationship with God guide you in these things, and not speak one size fits all for anybody, because only, you know, yeah, only the Lord knows the depth of people's hearts and what will reach them. And as you look at their faces, that you know, their body language and other things, you can perceive that people have different needs and are going to respond in different ways.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. And by the way, I want to make sure our anonymous questioners realize this. If you are a first-time questioner, just like our first questioner today was a first-time questioner, if you are a first-time questioner, send us your full name and your full mailing addresses. And, of course, you will not be your identity will not be revealed on the air, of course. But if you send me your full name and full mailing address, you will receive a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be shipping that Bible out to you if you're a first-time questioner, so submit that information to us as soon as possible. We have RJ in Westchester County, who, in fact, I am going to hold off on reading RJ's question until after our final break, because I don't want to interrupt you during answering RJ. So we're going to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. Please, if you are sending in a question, do it immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com is our email address, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology, Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school. and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you. If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
And all men in ministry leadership, you're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the entire program has been and will continue to be Dr. Latane C. Scott, author of The Mormon Mirage, discussing, a former Mormon discusses the unique challenges of reaching the spiritually homeless who flee from the outreach of Christians after the devastation of being misled and harmed by a cult. If you have a question, send it in immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com because we're rapidly running out of time. We had RJ in Westchester County, New York, who says, I know that it is our duty as Christians, as you have said repeatedly, to evangelize and preach the gospel to the lost. But what do you do when a family, friend, or loved one tells you in no uncertain terms, please stop evangelizing me, please stop preaching the Bible to me, if you want to maintain a close relationship with me, you're going to respect my wishes and not do that anymore. Do we obey that request?
I'm assuming the question is for me and not for you, Chris.
Yes, I'm assuming that all the questions that come in are for you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I would respect their wishes.
Yeah, I agree, because obviously, nothing's even going to be registering it, and it's going to be viewed as an act of cruelty or an insult to just bombard them after you've already been told don't do it. One of the things that obviously makes life more difficult and is perhaps even more of a hurtful experience is that I know parents, for instance, whose children abandon the faith. And they warn the grandparents or their own parents, do not speak about Christ and the Bible to my children. If you ever intend to babysit them, enjoy time with them alone, I don't want you ever speaking about Christ and the Bible to them. I guess that's something that we should obey their wishes too, although it's a very painful thing and counterintuitive to a Christian's heart and mind, but would you agree that we're not supposed to do that either?
I would respect their wishes.
Yeah. And I pray frequently for those I know who are in that horrible circumstance. Well, Latane, I want to make sure that you right now have several minutes of uninterrupted time where you want to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to this subject that we've been discussing.
I think it's very important that when you ask someone to give up something that they have dearly loved or held tight to, that you have to, although you can't compensate, a human being cannot compensate for the loss of faith in something as complete as Mormonism, as comprehensive and explanatory as Mormonism. Sometimes it's just the human being being there who may not know the doctrines or anything else, but who can exemplify the promise of Jesus to never leave us or forsake us. If there's one thing I could tell people about evangelizing Mormons, it is that your own witness of your own satisfaction in your life with the Lord is going to speak volumes to them. You do not believe that's possible outside of Mormon. It's true that, from my research, that most people who leave Mormonism do not become Christians. They become atheists or agnostic. I'm not sure there is a single way to prevent that from happening with the associate that each individual has who's listening to this story. being told here as we're describing the situation here in the show. And it goes back, Chris, to whether or not you really, you yourself really have that relationship. I mean, why, Jesus said, why would you go, he was talking to the Jews, he said, why would you go across the ocean and drag people into a form of thought that would make them even more a son of hell than they were before? The same thing is the question that you've got to ask yourself. Am I really at peace with God? Do I really have confidence in His Word? Do I really trust Him? Do I really have, and this is a dangerous thing to say, but do I really have unconditional faith? Because that's the only kind of thing that He really ultimately accepts. If we can't fix others if that's not fixed in ourselves. One of the things that I'm doing, Chris, that is completely apart from my writing novels and other things, is I teach classes on how to help people understand that faith can be mapped. You can map your faith. There's a biblical precedent for mapping your faith, and I want to teach people how to do that. The people who have taken my courses and have raved about them, say their lives have been changed. I have endorsements from professional counselors that say this is going to revolutionize the way that I counsel people. And I know that we didn't set out to talk about this, and I feel the Holy Spirit moving me to say that, but I have information, I have strategies, and I have a biblical pathway for the listener who's listening who doesn't have that unconditional faith in God and doesn't know how to get it. So if there's anything I want people to know is your faith has to be authentic before you try to lead somebody else into replicating your faith. You know, if you're a person of little faith, what do you have to offer to someone who is sitting on the ruins of their love for something that has been betrayed?
We have time for one more question. BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, wants to know, are you available for speaking engagements and conferences for women at various churches and other organizations?
I have done that in the past. I am open to thinking about it, but my ministry of teaching is so all-encompassing right now that it's unlikely, but I'd love to have someone contact me. My email is latane@latane.com.
latane@latane.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Latane, as always, it has been a joy and a blessing. I am so thrilled that our friendship has persevered for decades, even before I had my own radio program. And I just look forward to your every visit to this program as a guest. I look forward to your next one and hope that there are many more. I want to thank you for being such an extraordinary guest. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I want to let you know that my dear friend, Pastor Vinny Sawyer, is going to be my guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Vinny and I go back to the 1990s, the early 1990s, when I actually, even before I orchestrated a program on WMCA radio, where I used to work, called the Fundamental Baptist Forum, which was featuring quite a number of different fundamentalist Baptist speakers. Some of them who stabbed me in the back, but as far as what they said on the air about their differences with me on theology. But I have a thick skin, but Vinny never did that. Vinny's always been a dear friend, and he is a pastor now in Florida. He was formerly a well-known Baptist pastor in Flushing, Queens, New York. and is currently pastoring in Florida. And I hope that I get to pay a visit to that church sometime when traveling, my next time I'm traveling through Florida. Victory Baptist Church in Port St. Charlotte. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not St. Port Charlotte, Florida. Victory Baptist Church in Port Charlotte, Florida. He is going to be addressing biblical marriage tomorrow. So I hope that you tune in. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.